love. It gets us all wound up in the right places and then breaks us apart just as easily. In an evening of the sometimes misguided lessons in matters of the heart, Sean Parker's quirky dance film theatre production, Blue Love, takes you on a journey in search of the perfect relationship and the lip service that comes with it. Joining on the line to tell you more is executive producer Kath Fife. Good morning, Kath.
Good morning, Sophie. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm very thrilled to be able to speak to you about the show.
Not a problem. Now, this show, it really kind of breaks down the cliches of love. So what are some of the aspects that you're taking apart?
Sure. Well, I think the inspiration for this show comes from, you know, cliches and pop culture. And I guess one of the big parts of that is the way that you see love represented in songs and particular popular music. So one of the things that's happening in the show and the way that it's broken down is the use of pop culture lyrics from, say, power ballads and love songs. So there's an entire scene whereby the two characters, whose names are Glenn and Rhonda Sloan, they're essentially kind of dissecting their relationship through a kind of argument where all of the lyrics are from popular pop songs. So we're talking like love is a battlefield, I will survive, I want to know what love is. And if you can imagine snippets from those songs, which are recognisable, I think probably to a lot of the audience, making up a kind of argument scene. And then we see it again, actually, we get to hear that music as well. So that's kind of one of the ways that that love is dissected and looked at in the show. And the other sort of things that Sean's using too are even things like high art. So the way that we might think about, you know, very famous paintings or, you know, there's an opera, a little opera segment. Sean is actually an amazing singer. And so there's a little snippet of that in there as well. So there's quite a broad range of different little genres and styles and things that have been snuck into this show, which makes it quite exciting.
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, high art there, and then the ballads, the power ballads you just mentioned, I mean, 80s classics, very good. How did they kind of fuse together?
Well, look, I guess it's it moves quite quickly from one to the other. And I had the chance to see the show again in Wollongong a couple of weeks ago when we were down there. And it was, it's sort of amazing how quickly it moves from one to the other. And I guess maybe putting things that are so different up against each other, sort of alongside each other in quick succession, puts together by the end a kind of picture that you find like, wow, they've sort of looked at love from all of these different angles. So I guess maybe using the differences in those types of things is one of the strengths of the show, and I guess keeps it moving along pretty quick too.
Now, the couple at the centre of this piece, Rhona and Glenn Floon, what is it that they're trying to find?
Well, I think they're trying to find their idea of the perfect relationship. And in doing that, they're thinking, then looking at, you know, what other relationships and, you know, what are songs and art and things say about love. But they're also really specifically looking at, like, their particular relationship. And it's a very passionate relationship. It's often quite fraught. And so, you know, they're both pretty fiery characters. And there's this combination of things, this sort of simmering tension between them that bursts out in these different ways. And often it's really funny in the way that they interact. But essentially they're kind of looking at like, well, what is love then? What's the ideal relationship? And, you know, through the prism of whether or not theirs is heading that way or whether it ever will be. And I guess they do that with using a lot of humour, but, I mean, my experience of it was even also to see that there's a lot of kind of poignant moments where you see them sort of, you know, making fun of their relationship or making jibes at each other. But then you also see these really lovely moments where they're quite vulnerable or quite honest within that, even through the use of something that might be like a lyric from someone else's song in the way that they're sort of bantering, I guess, together.
I mean, pop culture and the internet has such an influence on our lives. Do you think that a lot of the time our perceptions of something like love is informed by pop culture and what is perfect?
Oh, they've got to be. And I think, you know, there'd be so many people, and I'd include myself in this, whereby songs play such a huge part in times in your life, and often you'll link that to something really intense like a relationship or a breakup of a relationship. And so I would think back into times in my life where I'd equate certain songs, and one of the songs that's in the show that you've used is the Cranberries' Linger, you know the one?
Oh, yeah.
And you have to let it linger. And that, I remember that being a particular song from when I was younger, linked to a relationship that I was experiencing. So I think people do really equate what what's out there in, you know, in pop culture and what they're kind of, you know, listening to, looking at, you know, on a daily basis. I think people have a really close alignment then with what's happening in their real life and making really strong associations with that. So when you see it up on stage, it's really easy to go, yes, that is me exactly. Or, you know, I've had that, but it isn't right now. Or I can see how that, you know, that would happen. So I think people kind of connect with it in that way. Like it's common. It's common now. And I think it was common before, you know, when we would have the radio, say, and the radio on in the car all the time as the thing that was feeding us, you know, songs and the kind of pop culture that we were listening to.
Yeah, so this is quite a physical piece of musical theatre. Can you kind of talk about the style?
Yeah, sure. Well, it's actually really a combination of a couple of different styles. So Sean's work is kind of, I guess, classified as like contemporary dance theatre. And this particular work has got a real combination of, you know, so in terms of it's got contemporary dance stuff and it's really physical and really kind of exciting to watch. And I was kind of surprised, I guess, by what two people can achieve in a setting like this, because essentially the stage is a version of their living room, Glenn and Rhonda's living room. But it's also got like a lot of comedy, and in the way that we talk about sort of dance theatre, there's a fair bit of, there's sort of scenes in terms of there's dialogue and text. So it's actually a real combination of that. And it's all of those things combined that make it really unique, I guess, and something that you maybe don't see all of the time on the stage, and especially quite different to what you might think of in terms of contemporary dance.
Now, this is a one-off performance to raise funds for Sean's company. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
It is. Well, we're a resident company at the Seymour Centre, and they are hugely supportive of us. And we have them to thank in particular for being able to stage this fundraiser. So what we're doing is it is a one-off performance. It's the only one you can see in the actual sort of CBD of Sydney. And what we're doing is raising funds for two things. One is to help us make new work in the future, so sort of ambitious, exciting new works. But one of the other main things that we use funds that people donate to the company for is the education program. So there's actually quite a strong and big part of the company that is us taking work into schools. So we have a production called The Yard. And a couple of years back, Sean worked with a whole lot of students over a long period of time from some different schools in Western Sydney. And this show, The Yard, was created kind of with and for them. And then it became a smaller version that we can then take with five dancers into schools. And it's got an anti-bullying message as its main sort of theme that it carries. And so we did that, in fact, I think it was last week or the week before. We took it to almost 2,000 students in schools across Western Sydney.
Wow.
So when people donate to the company, it essentially lets us take it there either really heavily subsidised or ideally for free, so that we can just spread that and share that kind of message and show, I guess, a different way of expressing, you know, all of the different emotions that are happening in young people's lives. So it's a really, really inspiring part of the company, and I particularly love that. So that's one of the main things why we're seeking funds. We say, well, this is what we do with them, essentially. So actually at this performance, we've encouraged everyone, it's the actual show of Blue Love starts at 8 o'clock, mm-hmm. but we've encouraged everyone to come just after 7:30, because we'll do a little excerpt of that school show, The Yard, in the foyer beforehand. So it's pretty rare, because usually that only gets performed in schools now.
Yeah.
So it's a nice chance to see that. So, you know, we welcome anyone being able to come a little bit earlier and kind of have a look at that before they come in to see Blue Love.
That's fantastic. Well, Kath, thank you so much for joining us here on So Hot. Now, we can't wait to see Blue Love. It's at the Seymour Centre this Wednesday. We'll put all the details on how you can get the tickets. But Kath, thank you so much again.
Oh, thank you. All right. Have a great day. Thanks, Sophie.
You too. Kath Pfeiffer, the executive producer of Blue Love. You can buy tickets at seanparkercompany.com or seymourcentre.com. We'll also put all those details up on 2SER.com along with this podcast.